Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And yes, for the first time in 2 weeks, it is Greg Corumbus along with Jim Garrity, and it's good to be back. Jim, let's start with the good martini as we always do, and unfortunately, it's a good martini in a kind of roundabout way because now the President's own Council of Economic Advisors, in a report conveniently issued on the Friday before a long 4th of July holiday weekend, has basically confirmed what we've been saying for many, many months now, even over a couple of years, and that the stimulus plan was a really, really bad idea. They now say that the stimulus plan has created or saved just under 2.4 million jobs, and that's a huge point of debate in and of itself. But even if that's true, the cost to date is $666 billion, meaning $278,000 per job allegedly created or saved by the stimulus plan. For a guy that also promised to go line by line through the budget, that doesn't exactly seem like the most efficient way to get things done.
It isn't, and people can kind of see the roundabout way of our thinking when we look for the good martini some days. But nonetheless, I look at this and say, all right, we kind of knew the stimulus failed. We knew job creation was anemic. We knew this was perhaps the most high-profile policy failure in recent political memory. But what I love about this, it's just such a great, vivid way of explaining this. And you know, I think it was John Lott or somebody had said, you know, if you just hand out $200,000 checks to people who are going to have their jobs created, we would have ended up like $44 billion ahead of the game. I also love the appropriateness of this administration releasing a spending bill saying it costs $666 billion. It's the stimulus of the beast, I tell you. I'm sure they looked at it. God, is there any way we could round up? No, not 667? Ah, darn. So I just think it kind of just, what's really useful to this is you could see any Republican candidate making this point in the campaign trail in 2012. And I just kind of love the idea of putting this to Obama and pointing out that all of his new solutions, everything that he's saying now after going through the experience of the stimulus, high-speed rail, and we're going to build solar panels, and we're going to build superconductor, everything he wants, infrastructure spending, et cetera, it's the exact same stuff. Meaning that this, if they say the definition of insanity is trying to do the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result, Obama's economic policy is literally insane by this definition. And I think this is just a great way. The other thing is, you can say it cost this many billions. I think $278,000 per job created in four words just summarizes a spectacular failure. And people look at that and say, wait a second, so not only did we not create a lot of jobs, it was really expensive. I mean, we could have had a failed policy for a lot cheaper.
Exactly. Between this statistic, which I'm sure is not going to get much better over time, and the president's, I guess the shovel-ready jobs weren't that shovel-ready, it's not going to be too hard to put together some campaign ads, one of which is already out there, by the way, talking about the president's lackluster accomplishments on this issue. And we've already credited a lot of the Republican hopefuls for being pretty articulate on this message, maybe not as articulate on exactly what they do differently. But the idea of making it clear to the American people that this president has failed when it comes to the economy shouldn't be that hard. And as we keep saying, it's up to the American people when it comes to major debates like the debt ceiling, next year's budget, and moving forward on that and so forth. And obviously, 2012 is another one. Here's your evidence, America. Make the right choice. On to number two now. And I know a lot of people are going to be floored by this, Jim. They just never saw it coming. But the National Education Association has endorsed President Obama for re-election. I know a lot of people are gasping and just shocked at that right now. But what's kind of interesting is that a lot of the folks involved in the NEA aren't really happy with the Obama administration because one of the things they're actually doing that's not running this country into the metaphorical ditch that they love to use so much, but they actually want to get tough on teachers. He's pro-charter schools. He kind of welched out on D.C. public school vouchers and so forth. But at least based on rhetoric, if not actual accomplishment, the president wants to actually have competent teachers in the classroom. And so the vice president, when he addressed the NEA, actually got applause when mentioning the fact that the administration, the NEA, don't see eye to eye on a lot of things. So congratulations, President Obama, and America, the nation's largest teachers organization, is okay with the president unless he actually wants good education.
I can see the NEA members typing in fury upon hearing those words, Greg, but my sense of your assessment is correct. A couple of things that just kind of jump out of this endorsement. One, in 2000, the NEA endorsed a Democrat, Al Gore, no particular surprise, except they did it on July 4th, 2000, the actual election year. This was a controversial move by the NEA leadership this year to do it a year early. As one of my readers was pointing out, we don't even know who the Republican nominee is. So we don't know if there's what would happen if the Republican came out and put out the exact agenda that the NEA wanted to see. Not going to happen. But, you know, just observing that this isn't even a fair competition, or the NEA isn't even going through the motions of pretending to listen to what the Republicans have to say on this issue.
Right.
And the other thing is that there are a certain number of NEA members who were not happy about this. Now, they're not happy about this because of the way you and I would be. Their idea is that Obama has been too tough on teacher accountability, et cetera, et cetera. And so we're not going to find a lot of common ground with these folks. But the interesting thing is that they feel like doing it a year ahead of time was a major mistake. They feel like they lost all leverage over the administration. And they noted that this is 72% of the NEA voted to, you know, endorse Obama, of the membership at this convention in Chicago. That's actually less than in previous endorsements in 2000, 2004, et cetera, in 2008. So one of the things that kind of is interesting about this is this idea that why did the NEA feel the need to do this, and why did Obama – was there pressure from Obama that they needed something like this? And one of my readers kind of speculates that you might see an alliance of desperation. The NEA needs to stop pro-reform governors in their tracks, and that their best way to do this is to attach themselves to the president. The president needs the support of as many unions as possible, and he needs financial support as much as possible. So even this is, you know, again, sometimes our martinis don't fit well into the good-bad category. I think the NEA makes itself look ridiculous by doing this, but this may be a desperation move. Which I find, you know, for our side, that's pretty good news to see.
That's okay. We're nuanced folks here on the Three Martini Lunch. We don't just see the simple headline and just immediately slap it into one of three categories. We can see
complicated world, Greg, that requires morally complicated martinis.
Exactly right. Speaking of which, on to number three now. And it was not that long ago, I guess several months ago, when the speculation was running rampant that Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, who has made no secret of the fact that she has no intention of staying on as Secretary of State if there is a second Obama term, that she might be a replacement for Joe Biden on the ticket. She's obviously got a lot of appeal, and Joe Biden, we know, brings nothing to the ticket. He was put on there to provide foreign policy gravitas, and clearly, given the fact that he's been completely invisible every time there's a foreign policy issue, suggests that that's not exactly going to be a bright shining light for the Obama ticket next time. Now the reports coming from Fred Dicker, a well-respected and longtime reporter in New York State, suggest that both Republicans and Democrats are speculating that Biden will be dumped this time for New York Governor Andrew Cuomo. The White House is quickly pouring cold water on it, and Jim has recently posted something on Campaign Spot about how the White House immediate denial should not be necessarily taken at face value. But when it comes to two things here that I'd like to point out. First of all, it's pretty clear that they realize that Joe Biden adds nothing to the ticket. Secondly, I find it interesting that anyone would speculate about Andrew Cuomo, because I'm not sure what he adds. And for a president who's deathly afraid of dealing with gay marriage, that's about the only thing that Andrew Cuomo's got to point to right now. So the leader of a state that Obama is going to win anyway doesn't exactly help him anywhere else, I don't think.
I concur with this. And there are a couple things that jump out about this. The first is, it's worth noting that Dicker's sources are not within the White House. They're not close to Obama. This is just, you know, saying that New York – folks in New York's political parties think this is a possibility. Now, maybe these sources are hearing voices in their head. You know, there's no – nothing saying that this is absolutely certain to happen. It's a July 4th story, and you can't help but get the feeling this is a desire to give somebody some, you know, a rumor people to chew over and talk about. Since we're talking about it now, mission accomplished, Fred Dicker. But having said that, a lot of people have speculated about this from, you know, since the moment Obama picked Biden. He doesn't seem like a natural successor. You probably figure there's a good chance that Obama would like to pick his successor, that he wouldn't necessarily want to have a Bush-Cheney situation in which his party has no natural person to pass the torch to, presuming Obama gets a second term, so a presumption that I don't particularly share, but, you know, certainly is within the realm of possibility. And so this has been around for a while. It probably doesn't make Joe Biden feel particularly good. But let's assume that if there were these conversations going on, I think a reasonable assumption, would the White House be open about them? Heck no.
Right. I
mean, they really speak, you know, if so, the White House press corps asks Carney or somebody, so is the president speculating about replacing Biden with Cuomo? Do we really expect him to say, yes, he is. Joe Biden, don't tell the vice president. It's probably going to be an awkward conversation when that happens. But indeed, Obama and Cuomo have been having this talk. No, of course not. Obviously, this thing's going to be held under wraps. And the thing that I remembered earlier today was that right before Joe Biden was announced as his running mate, obviously, you know, we knew it was down to a couple of folks. A lot of people were figuring Biden was on the short list. The rumor was around. Reporters are camping out on his lawn. No, Biden comes out and drives and says, sorry, guys, I'm not the guy. And then like hours later, it was announced that he was the pick. So, you know, to me, I understand there's a bit of a
you know, kabuki dance going on here. That this is something where, you know, people know that they're on the list. Maybe they know the choice. Maybe they don't know the choice. They usually they'll say, well, wait and see, or, oh, I haven't heard it. You know, they kind of, you know, tap dance around the issue. Biden offers a flat denial.
All right.
Then hours later, we find out, no, actually, he is the pick. So I noted he began his effort on the Obama ticket by lying to the press, getting an early start, it would seem. So I think that's bad form on the part of lawmakers, that they should not put out false information. They should not put out, say things that they know are not true. Biden really didn't leave himself any wiggle room or anything like that. He just said that the call had been made and it wasn't him. When we hear from Obama or Biden or anybody else today, oh, there's no chance that Obama's going to change his running mates in 2012. Look, the precedent says don't believe these people. You know, nothing's done until it's done. So I would not be surprised in the slightest to see Obama with a different running mate in 2012. And I guess we'll have to wait and see. But the whole way this story has been progressing, I think qualifies it for our first crazy martini of the week.
Yeah, absolutely right. And as you have said many times, Jim, every statement made by Obama and I guess prominent figures in his administration has an expiration date. Joe Biden's sets the record for the quickest to have an expiration date of just a few hours. So we'll see if that gets broken anywhere along the way. So Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us on Wednesday for the next Three Martini Lunch.